Welcome to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast, a podcast where we discuss wine, life, and everything in between. My name is Anshu, and I'm your host, and I'm so thrilled that you've decided to join me today. I hope we're going to have a great time together. Welcome to episode 14 of the podcast. Today, I'm off to a really great start. I actually got up and had some rigorous exercise for a change. That's not to say I don't exercise. I do love to exercise. But to be honest, as a busy mom, in spite of my best intentions, often my form of exercise is a walk, a brisk walk, either in the morning after I've dropped my children off to wherever they have to go, or a brisk walk in the evening after I've dealt with all of the evening activities. I'm guessing a lot of people can relate. Usually on a Sunday, I'll sit down and think, here are the things that I'm going to do this week to try to be more active. And I try to think about when, you know, I'll do some weightlifting, when I'll do some rigorous exercise, and when I'll do just walking or something a little bit more calming, like maybe yoga. But it seems like I just never really get to it. So I'm super proud that today I got up and I went down into my basement and I actually jumped on my Peloton bike. It's been a while, to be honest. We've had a Peloton for years. And my husband and I are, you know, on and off good users of that Peloton. Sometimes it gets great use, but other times it seems to collect dust and almost act as a hanger for other things that we need to put out of sight for a little while. For the past little while, I'd be honest, I haven't really been getting on the Peloton, but today for some reason I was grabbed by the idea. I usually find it to be a really fun experience, and I have to say that's exactly what I got today. This is by no means some sort of an endorsement or plug for Peloton. I don't get anything for saying that I was on my bike this morning and really enjoyed it. But I just want to share what a great way it is to start off the day. So whether you Peloton or not, you know, I also like to run, and that's something that I love to do. I do find exercising first thing in the morning can be just so soothing for the mind and the soul and really get you in the right mindset to conquer the day. And when it comes to Peloton, one of the things I love about the Peloton classes is that the instructors are generally very high energy. They're so motivational. You feel kind of like there's a friend with you, a personal coach that's pushing you to your highest limits. And that's what I think is the best thing to look for in any type of exercise that you're doing. The great thing about walking is it's easy to do and, you know, kind of for me anyways, gives me a lot of time to clear my mind, but it doesn't always push me to my highest limits. Whereas what I did today, a 30-minute spin class with the instructor Robin Arzon, if you're familiar with Peloton instructors, was just sort of so soul-soothing and mind-lifting. She's really great about doling out lots of motivational advice and anecdotes about her own life and other people's. And it just kind of pushes you, and, you know, not only physically, but also mentally, to think about what the art of the possible is. So I'm definitely in that headspace today. If you're listening, I hope you've had the opportunity to get some rigorous exercise in, do something that's really great for yourself. And if you haven't yet, I hope that hearing this will motivate you to find your own version of a 30-minute sweat out cycle on your Peloton, if you have one, or if not, something else. You know, that length of time, I'd say 30 plus minutes is exactly what we need to kind of get into that groove. And I think, you know, current research suggests that you need 120 to 150 minutes of vigorous sweat-inducing exercise in a week. So that's almost, you know, 30 minutes a day for, I guess, 5 or 6 days of the week. It's really important for us. So I hope you'll find that time to do that for yourself, for your body, for your mind, and for your mindset. Now let's get on to wine. Today, I thought I'd talk about BYOB. I think most people are probably pretty familiar with BYOB. The BYO part stands for bring your own, and B is essentially beverage. Although generally BYOB is quite often associated with bring your own wine or bring your own beer. And for me, since we're wine it up a notch here, it's all about bring your own wine. Why do I want to talk about this today? Well, this weekend with my family, I went to one of our favorite spots here in Toronto for Southeast Asian food, particularly with a Malaysian twist. And that is a restaurant called Soos. That's spelled S-O-O-S if you're interested in going there, if you live in Toronto or if you're visiting. They have amazing food. It's always a great place to go and family friendly as well. And they have a wine list. But, you know, for me, I've got a lot of great wines sitting downstairs in my basement that I want to try, and I'm always buying them. And sometimes I run out of occasions to try them in my own home. Also, I don't always want to cook a great meal. So, you know, there are times when I want to have a bottle of wine, but I think I'd be wasting it on the meal that I'm eating. So I thought to myself, I had, you know, a bunch of bottles of Torontes, actually, which is a white wine from Argentina, sitting in my basement. And I thought, well, you know what? why not see if I could bring my own bottle of wine? Because I'd love to try one of these. I had about 5 bottles sitting downstairs that I'd bought to do a deep study on the Torontes grape from Argentina, and I just hadn't gotten around to. And for me, I thought that that would be a perfect pairing for some of the food that would be available at the restaurant. So we gave the restaurant a call, and it turned out that they were willing to let us bring our own bottle in. They would charge us a corkage, and so we did. And we ended up taking in a bottle that was only $20 retail, because Torontes is not often very expensive. And it paired beautifully with the meal. We paid a corkage fee. We were treated very well by the staff at the restaurant. And we enjoyed our meal. We enjoyed our wine. I'm one bottle lighter in terms of my cellar. I've been able to drink something I really wanted to. And I had a wonderful meal. Now, this really got me thinking about the benefits of BYOB programs at restaurants when they're available, and how diners should and can take advantage of them if, of course, you know about them. Here's the trick. Not all restaurants offer a BYOB program, and not all restaurants will tell you about their BYOB programs. And there's reasons for that. Some restaurants are not licensed to serve alcohol. And particularly where I live, in the province of Ontario, a restaurant must have a license to both sell and or serve alcohol in order to have alcohol on the premises. So if you're going somewhere where they do not have a license at all, they cannot offer a BYOB program. In other instances, most restaurants do have their own wine lists or cocktail lists, and they put a lot of investment into putting those lists together, into storing the wines, and into serving their customers. There's a cost, both from an energy and money perspective, for doing that. And so if they start permitting diners to bring bottles of their own anytime they want, that can, for obvious reasons, impinge on the restaurant's own program and profitability. So as a starter, not every restaurant is going to offer a BYOB program, but many do. And those that do, for diners like you and I mean, that is a fantastic opportunity to bring your own bottle in, save a little bit of money, and try a wine that maybe you've been wanting to try for a long time that's been sitting in your cellar, or you have something special that you're really keen to try with an exquisite meal. If you've never BYOB'd before, here's a couple things that you should know. First of all, never assume that a restaurant will permit you to bring your own bottle. Always call ahead. Not only is it a common courtesy to let the restaurant know that you'll be bringing a bottle in, but it's definitely good for you to avoid disappointment in case you turn up with a bottle and they won't let you bring it in, because that's not part of their service offering. The second thing that's good to keep in mind is that almost all restaurants will charge you a corkage fee. So a corkage fee is what it sounds like. It's a cost of essentially bringing your bottle in and opening that bottle and allowing you to have it on the premises. Usually in the corkage fee, that would include the server opening the bottle and serving it to you, potentially putting it on ice and chilling it for you, the glassware that you're using. And I would go so far as to say a little bit of compensation back to the restaurant for you not ordering from their particular list of beverages that they offer, which I mentioned earlier, does come at a cost to the establishment. As far as corkage fees go, here in Toronto, a typical corkage fee is anywhere between $25 and $45, depending on the establishment, and sometimes even depending on the day of the week. That's not to say that you always have to pay a corkage fee. Some restaurants have these really cool specials where they will offer little to no corkage on certain days of the week. And for Toronto-based restaurants, I'll actually link an article in the show notes where you can go to see what those restaurants are. Those are great days to check out these really cool restaurants, have amazing food, bring your own bottle of wine, and pay, you know, not that much. But say that's not the case for you. Say you want to go out on a Friday or Saturday night, you have a beautiful bottle of wine sitting around that you want to try, and you want to take it in to a restaurant with you. So what I'd suggest you do there is, as I mentioned before, give the restaurant a call, make sure they do have a BYOB program, and then ask them what their corkage fee is. One of the things that I typically do is I consider what the corkage fee is and then what the value of the bottle is that I'm bringing. And, you know, that total addition, the cost of the bottle plus the corkage fee, the math on that will give me a sense of whether I think it's worth it to take the bottle in. So for example, if I want to drink a $20 bottle of wine and I'm going to pay a $50 corkage fee for a total of $70, that might not be worth it if in fact they already have bottles on the wine list that they believe pair with the food for, you know, a little bit less or roughly the same price or even slightly more. So I will often consider the math on, you know, whether I really want to bring a bottle in or not. And some of the qualitative factors that I would take into account are whether I really have a bottle, you know, that I really, really want to try that's sitting around, or I'm trying to, you know, whittle down the stash of bottles that I have, obviously, because I study wine and I talk about wine. I do drink a lot of wine. I often tend to have a lot of bottles that I've purchased and need to try. So that could be a reason that I would take my own bottle in. But I never forget that, particularly at restaurants that have a deep wine list or a wine curation, you know, aspect to how they put their wine list together, whether they have a wine director or sommelier on staff, that by bringing my own bottle in, I might be trading off on the opportunity to try something really exciting or interesting or new, or even just try a specific wine that, you know, the restaurant and the chef and the sommelier believe pairs really well with the food that they actually serve. So there is that information that I would suggest you take into consideration. But point number two really is there is generally a corkage fee to pay. So you should be aware of what that is and make sure that that fits your budget and makes sense in terms of the overall cost of the meal. The third thing to keep in mind when it comes to BYOB programs is, as I mentioned before, don't forget that you are bringing your own bottle into an establishment and often impinging on the establishment's own wine and beverage program. So it's important to be courteous to the restaurant owners, the restaurant, you know, manager and the staff, and really treat them properly. Your tip should include a tip on the corkage fee and presumed value of the bottle. So tip as though you have bought wine at the restaurant. You should always tip generously as far as I'm concerned. But I don't think that bringing in, you know, your own bottle and then grumbling about the corkage fee and not tipping people properly is very courteous, frankly. So it's something that I would encourage everybody who wants to use a BYOB program to keep in mind. A lot of times people will also offer whoever is, you know, the sommelier at the restaurant, a small sip of the wine as well as a courtesy. So that's something you can keep in mind. They could also share some, you know, perspective on what they think of the wine. And they also get to have, you know, a small sample, which is always nice to share with a wine professional and hear what they think. The fourth thing I'd keep in mind when it comes to a BYOB program is take a look at your cellar and consider whether there's something you really want to try. Perhaps someone has gifted you, you know, something for a special occasion and you just can't really cook up this amazing meal at home that you think will pair with the wine. And you really want to try that wine in a special setting. So if that's the case, I think finding a really great restaurant that offers fantastic food and service, a high-end restaurant that has a BYOB program is a great option, even if you might have to pay a slightly higher corkage fee and or you might not have the exact pairing of food and wine. The effect there that you're trading off for, though, is this really wonderful experience with great service, great food, and that beautiful bottle that you've been wanting to try forever, you know, that's probably expensive and special to you in some meaningful way. Maybe you've acquired it on a trip yourself. Maybe someone's gifted it to you. Maybe you made a big splurge purchase. You know, you don't want to waste those wines. You want to have great food and a great experience to remember them by. And so why not take them into a restaurant that permits you to, even if they do charge you a slightly higher corkage fee, let's say $50 or slightly north from there, which, you know, could happen. I wouldn't say that that's entirely unheard of. In that instance, again, I would advise calling ahead and letting the staff know that you're bringing in your own bottle, you're celebrating a special occasion so that they can be prepared for you. And they might even do a little something extra special, you know, to chill that wine for you if it needs to be, or to aerate the wine by decanting it if that needs to happen. Maybe they might invite you to bring the wine in slightly earlier so it could be ready for you, which is just a wonderful experience. Another thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about BYOB is your budget. Let's face it, dining out is becoming more and more expensive. And when you go out and have a meal and then you add on the cost of beverages, including glasses of wine, which can sometimes be from $15 to $20 or $20+ a glass, it can definitely get very expensive. And we all know that wine markups at restaurants are anywhere from, you know, 2.5 to 3.5 times. That's pretty much the industry standard. So it can certainly get expensive to enjoy wine with a meal when you're dining out. And that's where BYOB, where it's permitted, can provide exceptional value. Keep in mind that some restaurants will only let you bring in one bottle or two max. So that's something to keep in mind if you're going with a large group. But you know, if it's a small group, say you and your partner or you and your friends, and you want to keep costs down, bringing in your own bottle of wine, keeping in mind that monetary equation that I talked about in terms of the retail price of the wine that you've paid, plus the corkage that you're going to pay, plus taxes and tipping and all of that. Keeping that in mind, you know, bringing your own bottle can provide exceptional value. And if you really know wine, and you know, you're good at scouting out a good bargain, or say you follow people like me who talk about wines that are a great deal, you can sometimes bring in a really great bottle that's not very expensive. Like I said, a Tarantas that I brought in on the weekend to the South Asian or Southeast Asian restaurant that we went to, and, you know, score a really great experience for much less than you might if you didn't know what you were trying to pick off of a really extensive wine list. And that's another point that I'll bring up. If you're intimidated by wine lists, going into restaurants and seeing these massive wine lists, then you don't necessarily want to talk to a wine professional at the restaurant to navigate the list, and prices scare you, then bringing in your own bottle can be a great way to feel comfortable and enjoy a bottle of wine without feeling intimidated. So as you can see, I'm definitely a fan of BYOB programs. I should be honest, I don't always bring my own bottle. Sometimes it's just much easier to go somewhere and look through a list, try something new, have someone direct me. You know, I love to talk to wine professionals, so I love to hear what they recommend and what they think is good. And oftentimes I try some of the best bottles of wine that I've ever had, or the newest things that I've ever had, you know, things I've never had before at a restaurant. So I definitely don't always BYOB, but from time to time, it's a great option. And I wanted to share it with you as one that I think if you're interested in food and wine, and you've got some knowledge of wine and a bit of a collection that you're trying to get through yourself, an option that I think is worth your while. So that brings us to the end of our episode. I hope you learned a little something new. And if it's not new to you, maybe you're motivated to try something a little new by bringing your own bottle of wine in. I hope you'll keep in mind some of those quick reminders in terms of things to keep in mind, you know, calling ahead, making sure that you tip appropriately, making sure that, of course, you're courteous, and thinking about whether the cost-benefit equation makes sense for you if you are going to indulge in a BYOB program. I hope you'll keep those things in mind, and I hope you found them useful. And with that, I will sign off for the day, wishing you peace, love, and light, and of course, good wine. Until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast. I hope you're enjoying the podcast thus far. Be sure to hit subscribe to be notified of future episodes, or leave a review to let me know what you think. Take care.